Amen. So you have your paper. What I'd like to do is we have baptism coming up in a few weeks, and so I just thought it'd be great to go back and review a bit for some of you that are new. What is baptism all about? And my goodness, there's a lot of different traditions around baptism. So I just want to do kind of a very big review, and by way of answering some questions concerning baptism, questions about baptism. And we have quite a few questions, and some of you are sizing this up, saying, "Well, this looks like about a 40-minute." Don't tell me you don't think it. But we're going to start with some background and so forth. But before that, I want to share a story. I grew up in Oriel, Pennsylvania for a few years of my life, a little tiny village outside Jersey Shore, Pennsylvania, outside of Williamsport, Pennsylvania. So it's that small. It's outside of a couple different towns, out in the middle of nowhere. And there was just one or two main roads that left the village, and in one in particular went across the cornfields, and it had a little bit of a trough there, a little valley, and they had a few large pipes that went underneath the road to accommodate the storm runoff or all the snow melting, because there was nothing but cornfields around us, and all of the snow and water would then rush through these pipes. But usually they were empty, so we'd ride our bikes in them most of the time. But one particular early spring, it had been a large snowfall, and there was a lot of water running off the fields, and it had filled the pipes up. And my brothers and I were wondering, how deep is this water? And without any real thought to it, we took my younger brother, Dave, and we got our friends together. And we got him by each of us got his arms, and the water's rushing through the pipes, and we stood out over it, and so we lowered him in. And the water's shooting, his legs are like this. We found out how deep it was. As a matter of fact, it was running so fast, his body kind of, he wouldn't go straight in. And but do you have those stories? You think back, how in the world did we not hurt each other and kill each other? My mom didn't know about that for a few years later, that happened. But that's a great picture of baptism. That's the best I could do. I thought, man, I need a good baptism story, but that's all. Those of you that are signed up, don't scratch your names off. You will not be baptized in that swift of running water. Matter of fact, it'll be nice and calm. Someday we may go out to moving water at some point, but that's a whole nother time. It'll be nice and calm and about 90 probably degrees. But that's a great picture of baptism, because a baptism in the Greek, baptizo, means to submerge in liquid, to dunk. And the picture of a sunken ship is a great picture of baptism, what the word baptism means. So when we say baptism by immersion, that's grammatically incorrect, right, Tony? You can't say it twice. It's baptism is to submerge. So we're going to submerge by submersion is basically what we're saying. We might say lately that we're over our heads in debt. You're baptized in it. You're in over your head. You're covered, immersed in it. And I thought we spoke last week at the end of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 and 21, in the call from Paul to young Timothy to guard the gospel, guard what has been entrusted to you. And we said two things to guard it. One, that we have to know it to guard it, and two, we have to proclaim it. We have to pass it on, right? And all of you sang pass it on all week, and those of you that didn't know it, you looked it up, right? But it only takes a spark to pass it on, or no, to get it going, and then we pass it on. But this ordinance, this sacrament, illustrates these two points beautifully. Baptism is all about knowing the gospel, and it's all about proclaiming the gospel. So this morning I want to answer some basic questions. They're outlined here, and then there'll be opportunities for some of you that haven't partaken in it, haven't experienced water baptism, to sign up. And the rest of us, it'll be an invitation to come and celebrate with them. Because this isn't just for them, it's for all of us, which we'll discover as we unfold the morning. But before we get into the background, let's pray. Let's kind of turn our attention here from announcements and the VBS announcement and the blue t-shirts. And hallelujah. Father, we thank you that, Lord, this is a happy day. And, Lord, we have so much to celebrate, Lord. that we have been made new. And Lord, you have raised us into newness of life. And Lord, we celebrate that this morning. Lord, that's what brings us together. That's what ties us, each and every one of us together, as different as we are, Lord. It's our one God. It's our one baptism. And we thank you, Father, for your life. Holy Spirit, I just ask you right now just to minister truth to us. Speak deeply to our hearts, Lord. Bring conviction where there needs to be conviction, Lord. Liberate us, Lord, in areas that we are not free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We'll move fairly swiftly through this outline, so we're not going to linger too long, but I'll invite you to take notes and try and keep up. One of the very basic questions, and we're looking at background, is people come up to me and say, well, where did this all come from? Where did baptism come from? And did baptism just pop up with John the Baptist? Did it just show up? Well, the answer is no, and we don't have time to go unfold all of it. But we can see that if you go back and study in Exodus, you can see the ritual cleansings and the ritual washings. And then in the intertestamental time between Malachi and Matthew, we find historically in the Essene community, in the Qumran community, evidences of baptismal rituals and things of that nature, and all kinds of expressions in baptism. And then we have John the Baptist, of course, coming onto the scene with a baptism of repentance. We read about that early in the Gospels. And people came to him, and he would baptize them upon their professing of sin. Okay? Which would raise us then to say, well, why did Jesus be baptized? There's many questions. I just picked a few that I thought were common. So then why would Jesus be baptized if John's baptism was a baptism of repentance? Because that wasn't that a bit confusing? Because isn't Jesus sinless? What does he need to repent of? Mike, I don't know, Michael. I'm going to give you two things that I feel I believe are reasons why Jesus is baptized. One, it's identification. And I have that listed right there, identification. He's baptized because he recognized as the promised Messiah, he's called to identify to the people he was called to deliver, namely the Hebrews. So he'd often say, especially in Peter, Peter would repeat the words and Jesus would say, I have come and I have given you an example of which you should follow. And baptism is one of those things. Secondly, Jesus was baptized as dedication, or in you like religious terms, the consecration. Consecrating himself and dedicating himself publicly to do the will of the Father. He goes there and says, I will obey all that the Father says for me to do. Dedication. So as the watching world watched Jesus go down into the waters, Jesus was revealing to them the life that he was about to live out before them. A life interwoven with his Father. So he's dedicating himself and he was identifying with them. So Jesus, right from the start in his ministry, initiates baptism. A baptism of repentance and faith in himself. But at the end of his ministry, as he's leaving, and this is in Matthew 28, he gathers his disciples and says, listen, I'm about to leave this place, but there's some things I want you to go and do. And he gives them four commands. He says, go, make disciples, baptize, and teach. So one of the four things he leaves with them is baptism. Baptizing. Well, what does it mean then to be baptized? What does it mean then to be baptized? And I'm just going to give you two. I'm going to say baptism is a confession of faith. And as we're going through this, I want you to think, if you had never been water baptized, think through these things. If these are things that are true in your own life, and others of you that have been baptized, remember your baptism. Call it back into remembrance as we walk through this. It'll be a refreshment to us. But baptism is a confession of faith in Christ. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 2, first of all. That's page 910 in your Bibles, Acts chapter 2. 9:10 in the Black Bibles, and I'm just going to read it for you. Acts chapter 2, verse 37-38. That's page 9:10 in the Black Chair Bibles. But baptism is a confession of faith in Christ. Peter's preaching, and he says, now when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So when you go through the book of Acts, this comes time and time again. They were baptized as a confession of their faith in Jesus Christ. Repent and be baptized. That's a profession of faith. And now your fingers in Acts chapter 2, turn to the right a bit. To Acts chapter 8, turn to the right. Acts chapter 8, we're going to look at let's start at verse 35. Acts chapter 8, verse 35. It says, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told them the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? Now pause there for a moment. And I may have pointed this out to you before, but we just read verse 36. And what's the next verse? 38. Well, who's messing with my Bible? Well, if you just glance down below, you'll see in the footnotes that not all the manuscripts had verse 37. But in almost all of your Bibles, it'll have it down there. It says some manuscripts add most of this verse. It said, and Philip said, if you believe with all of your heart, you may. And then he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. See, this is what the early church had clear. That if you believe with all of your heart, you may. If you don't believe with all of your heart, you may not. Well, why? Well, because baptism is a confession of faith in Jesus Christ. And if there's no confession of faith, there's no significance in water baptism. Okay, that's pretty clear. A lot of you may, that's already been settled. But my point is you just don't fall into the baptism, you know, you just don't fall into Paulette's pool and we pray for you. Steve is still laughing at me up here, Steve Mattson, because a few weeks ago, we were sitting around and I said, I accidentally jailbroke my iPhone. I don't know, anybody know what an iPhone is? You ever hear an iPhone? Well, apparently you're tied into the network of AT&T. Well, you can finagle that, jailbreak it, and it can do a whole lot more. Well, I accidentally jailbroke my phone. But Steve said, there is no way you accidentally jailbroke your phone because you have to go through it's a deliberate process. And I did. I just didn't realize what I was doing. I was following directions. And I voided the warranty out, apparently, and all kinds of fun stuff. Anyway, I jailbroke it. Now, you go home and Google jailbroke iPhone. You'll figure it out. But it just doesn't happen. You just don't accidentally hit a button and it's ruined. And you don't just show up at the baptism pool and fall in and you're baptized. There's a process. It's because of a process. You came to knowledge that you are in need of a Savior. And you said, Jesus is that one. There is a confession of faith, a change in life, baptism. It's a process. Secondly, baptism. It expresses our true identity. Let me explain this. It expresses our true identity. Keep turning right. Hopefully you're still in Acts. Go right to Romans. It's a few pages. You just have to keep going a little bit. Romans chapter 6. Okay? Romans is the next book after Acts. Just keep, try to make it simple around here. That's page 942 in your black Bibles, the chair Bibles, if you like. Baptism is a confession of faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism is also an expression of my identity, your identity, those that we're baptizing. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Now the whole chapter is great, but we're just going to pick two verses. Paul says, do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus? We are baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. What a powerful. We could spend all morning just on that. But really only 2 points under that, and I didn't put them in your notes. Baptism expresses our identity. First of all, our identity in being identified with his in his death. We're identified with his death, being dead to sin and dead to self-works. Those are two different things. Some of us have been dead to sin, but we're still into the works thing. We're still really trying to make it good and acceptable before God. But in baptism, you're going down, identifying with his death, dead to sin, dead to self-works. It's an utter trust. And those that are being baptized are literally trusting that we'll bring them back up and not hold them down. So think of it that way. It is a statement of absolute trust in Christ's death. Secondly, it expresses our identity in identifying and being identified with his resurrection. That's the good news. See, without Christ, there's no coming out of the water. So we're being identified with his death, being identified with his resurrection, basically being raised into newness of life. So, going into the baptismal waters, those that are signed up and those that are going to be participating with us, is literally and simply acting out Romans chapter 6, verse 4. You're watching it happen. You're going down in death, raising to newness of life in Jesus Christ. And see, Jesus, the Father now sees me interwoven with Jesus. He doesn't see us separated. He doesn't see me apart from Christ in some way. He sees us completely interwoven. And in baptism, I'm displaying the nature of that new identity, identifying with him. So it's not just a thing. It's not just an event. Baptism isn't just something we do. It is expressive of the fact that our lives are wrapped up intensely with Jesus Christ. Did you get that picture? Why did Jesus be baptized? The identification, now it becomes more real to us in terms of the identifying with him. He did it. So in one sense, we're doing what he did, but it's magnificent in terms of going down in death and being raised to the newness of life. Our identity is totally inseparable from him. Right? Now let me make clear one little point. Baptism does not save you. You are not saved through the act of baptism. The profession of faith always preceded baptism. Amen. Baptism did not precede faith. I think we're clear on that based on everything we're looking at. It's just not there. However, many of you were raised and taught that way. Okay. All right, who should be baptized then? See, if baptism is a confession of faith and it expresses our identity interwoven with Jesus, it stands to reason that the one that is baptized is the one that has received the word and confessed faith in Jesus Christ. It's a Christian, okay? All right, it's fairly simple. Moving on. When I say simple, it's very clear. It's very deep, but it's clear. Okay, when should we baptize? When? Well, I think around between 6 and 8 at night is probably the best time. But isn't the, hey, oh, and you know what? It's 6 o'clock on the 29th. And I can prove it, but we don't have time. It's not what I mean by that. It's not what I mean by that. I didn't even put it in the notes, but very quickly, immediately is the pattern of Scripture. Upon the profession of faith, I didn't even waste time. It was like immediate obedience. But when should we be baptized? And I just want to answer a few questions. And some of you may have heard this. I shared this maybe a year or so ago. Some of you have children, your son or your daughter, and you're wondering, should they be baptized? At what point should they be baptized? And that's a great question because it takes for granted that children can be converted. Children can come to Jesus. Well, that's why we're doing it. It's one of the reasons we do VBS. It's to strengthen their faith, but it's also to bring them and remove obstacles and invite them to Jesus. So anyway, that's a great question to ask. Children can be converted. However, it gets a little more interesting because children are developmentally designed to please their parents. Now, some of you wonder about that completely. I heard that chip goes off at about 12 or 13, but originally, that's how they're designed. They're really designed. So at a younger age, they're very moldable, can be very influenced by us. So our desire to see them baptized could be the reason they're baptized. So we got to be very careful about that. My recommendation, and that's why some traditions say not until they're 16, 17, 18 years old, until they're taking on adult responsibilities. My recommendation is that you talk with your children. As their parent and guardian, you discern with them whether, one, they understand what baptism is. Number two, whether they can articulate to you their need for a Savior. They have to be aware of it. Do they understand salvation? I mean, in very, it'll be simplistic terms, but do they understand that? This one for me is important. Will they remember it? Or are they just, very young and will they remember it? So basically, can they enter the waters of baptism on their own accord? Is it their decision? Okay. So we got to be very careful we don't impose our will on them as young kids. But hey, I'm not going to argue with you over age. You're a parent. And if you can answer those questions, let's celebrate. If not, let's wait. It's okay. Okay. I don't feel that pressure of, if my child's not baptized, then what are people going to think about me? Let's let that all go. Let it all go. Secondly, the other question that comes up quite oftenly and that I had to ask is, if I was baptized as an infant, should I be rebaptized? And logically, it happens, and we think that way. And I there's no real clear answer on that. I would just ask you a few questions. I'd say, when you were baptized as an infant, was it of your own accord? Because I'm not going to bicker over sprinkling, dunking, hold down 10 seconds, 5 seconds doesn't work, hold down 30 seconds. I don't know, we're going to probably be between 30 and 45 on the 29th. That's just what I read in Scripture. So, but I'm not going to bicker over the mode of it. See, we can get really tied up in knots over this. Well, you weren't completely submerged. And I've had that happen, literally at our last one. That was presented to me. Somebody made a comment to someone else that you were baptized, and it angered me. We had somebody in there, and they're not from here, but they said to somebody else, you were sprinkled? That didn't count. I looked at this person in the eyes and said, do you remember it? Yeah. Was it meaningful to you? Yeah. Why were you baptized? This is why. Jesus, I had a need. I was broken. End of story. Tell them to take a hike. But people love to major on this stuff. And let's just not do that. Anyway, and again, on the 29th, don't do that. Because if I find out that we're having these kind of conversations, it takes away from them. So, sprinkling is not the issue, it's the heart. Where were you in those moments? Okay? All right. A lot of us were baptized because it meant something to our parents in terms of their raising of us, and it was more like we would celebrate as a dedication. Nothing wrong with the parents. It's not, but you may want to enter the waters again. Some of you that had been baptized and walked away for a season from the Lord, it may be appropriate for you to do that as well as a recommitment. I don't have a problem with that, but we can talk from, okay? All right. Secondly, in terms of when, as a context, this relates deeply with the local church baptism. It has to do with it has a lot to do with the context of a local church. So if Rich called me up and says, listen, I want you to come over to my pool and baptize me, I say, not really, because I want baptism to happen in the context of the community. Baptism in terms of context of the church itself. Now, him and I together, we're the church, but I'm looking at a congregational thing. That's why we'll do it fairly large. You say, well, there wasn't a church building in the Jordan, and we're not talking church building. We're talking about the church as people. The gathered church is where baptism took place. So we're not going to baptize ourselves in our bathtubs or hot tubs, and we want to celebrate it in terms of a corporate gathering, okay? Which may have believers and unbelievers present. See, in the New Testament, period, a Christian that was unattached to the church was unknown. It's completely unknown. So when somebody got baptized in Corinth, it was fairly clear what happened, because you'd say, well, what just happened to you? Well, I was baptized. And because it happened that I realized that Jesus was the person he said he was. And I confessed and repented of my sins. I trusted in him and I was baptized and I joined the church in Corinth. It was all very local. So, in terms of when, we're looking at a context of a local church or a body of believers. Okay? So in order for these baptisms to count, you all must be there. I'm just kidding. Just a little pressure to get you there to come out. Never mind. It was funnier in my head. All right, let's move on. This is my favorite. Why do we celebrate, or what are we celebrating in baptism? If we're going to call it a baptismal celebration on the 29th, what is it that we are celebrating? Or is it just the 7, 8, 9, or 10 that are getting baptized? No, there's something that we are all celebrating on those days. First of all, God forgives. I'll repeat these till we can't talk anymore. We cannot hear this enough. That we are celebrating that God forgives. So when we all pile onto Paulette and Dick's deck, which, I don't know, we fit a lot on there last time, and they've reinforced it, so let's test it out. So when we gather around that deck, and we'll just pack it in, and people just crowding around and cheering and hooping, what is it that we're celebrating? That God forgives, and that their deck is strong. We're not falling down. But that God forgives is the main one. That our God forgives. My God forgives. 1 John 1:9. Very familiar. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But this is hard for us to accept because we don't live that way. That's not how mom or dad did it. That's not how I relate to it. So fortunately, our dealings in real life are not lining up with the Lord in that realm. But see, God's response is to forgive, which is to cancel a debt, to let it go. His response is to forgive, to cancel a debt, to forgive our sins, which is our missing it, our guilt. And he cleanses, which is to make clean. He washes us from all wrongdoing. See, when we forget, when we confess our sins, and this is what we are celebrating, and all of us have been there, and there are many that haven't, we are celebrating that God forgives, that when we confess our sins, he forgives it and divorces it from us. He no longer identifies it with us. Did you hear that? Confess your sin, he divorces it. You're not identified with it. Your name's been changed. Nobody on the planet can do that for us. That's the good news. Secondly, that God forgets. Not only does he forgive, he forgets. Now, how can God forget? Hebrews 10:17 says, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. See, under the old covenant, there was a constant reminder of sin. Constant reminders, the sacrificial system, all of those things, there's constant reminders that we cannot free ourselves. But under the new covenant, there's this wonderful reminder that our sin has been made. There's been one that has been sacrificed for that sin. There has been one sacrifice made. See, in the statement that God will remember our sins no more means that he will no longer call them back to memory with a view of condemning us as a sinner. It's a choice. He'll no longer call them. So young people, those of you that carry an immense amount of guilt around, you confess your sin, he divorces it from you. He chooses to no longer call that into memory in order to condemn you for it. This is a great comfort. See, this is good news. And that's what we celebrate. Benjamin, you guys can come back up if you like. Benjamin and team, you guys can come up and we'll... But see, in baptism, we are guarding the gospel. This is Paul encourages young Timothy to guard the gospel. Celebrating baptism together does that. We're guarding it as we're proclaiming the power of the gospel. For every person that we are taking into the waters, they have walked out these truths. But do you know that not everybody knows this? Not everybody knows this good news. Did you ever think about that? Did it just get dark in here? Is it like a... But not everybody knows the good news because there's a lot of copies and there's a lot of shadows out there. I may have shared this before. I remember reading one time of a couple who spent $100,000 over a 4-year period advancing through the Scientology levels till finally they got to the point where they were going to really understand what life was all about. $100,000 over 4 years. So you think, well, City View, this is quite a deal. Because now if God asked you to give $100,000, we're not going to stop that. But it was the fact that it was required to progress through. Same is true with the Masonics. You know, there are levels to this thing. Level 2 is a handshake. Level 3, 4, 5, 6, I think there's 23, 28 levels. And same thing with Mormonism. You go through various stages of knowledge. But see, at baptism, we're celebrating. What is it with Christianity? What is it in Christianity? Well, there's no secret rooms. There's no secret passages. There's no secret knowledge. It's here for anyone. The boy, the girl, the man, the woman, the young, the old. It's all accessible to them. It's because it's the same book. It's the same Spirit. It's the same God. It's the same Lord for all of us. There's no levels that, oh, once you get here, then you're going to meet the real Jesus because you've only had a little Jesus. But once you come into youth group, you meet the real Jesus. We can grow in our knowledge and our understanding and our maturity without having some special formula. Unlike the cults, because there always are special rooms, secret knowledge. So you say, well, why did Jesus die on the cross anyway? Because he didn't do anything wrong. And then the Spirit of God begins to speak to our heart and says, because you did everything wrong. In the Old Testament, it was guilty. It was the innocent for the guilty. And in the New Testament, there is God the Son, blameless, dying so that we might know forgiveness of sins. Somebody says, well, I don't need forgiveness of sins. Do you remember we spoke about that a couple weeks ago? Well, no one's going to come to Jesus. They don't need a Savior unless they're a sinner. Say, well, I don't need it. I'm not a sinner. Well, let's just start. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all of your mind, your heart, your soul, and all of your strength. Let me ask you, have you for every minute, hour, day, week, month, and year of your entire life loved the Lord your God with all your mind, soul, strength, and might? Of course not. Well, then you need a Savior. And we haven't even got to the other 9. Do you know forgiveness of sins? This is an amazing truth. And it's all in baptism. We see it all. I will come and I will remember your sins no longer. See, Buddhists don't know that. Your Buddhist friends and co-workers, those around you, they don't know that. Deliverance in Buddhism only comes from a greater effort of self. It wasn't it Buddha's dying words? Strive without ceasing. Because there is no forgiveness. Hinduism offers no forgiveness. There's karma. But everybody in Hinduism eats the fruits of the wrongdoings of their past only to repeat it. Because there's absolutely no forgiveness. Their lives are an endless cycle with no escape. And they look at this or they hear this and I will remember their sins no longer. They don't have this. Same in Islam. Quran offers no forgiveness of sins, no message for sinners. They only have a symbol and it's called the scale. And it's good and bad. And hopefully the good outweighs the bad. That's their symbol. And I've said this before, what's our symbol? It's a cross. And it's a cross with nobody on it. Well, why? Well, because he left. Why did he leave? Because he went to sit down. Why did he go to sit down? Because his work is finished. That's it. If you do not know Christ this morning, you can know him right now. If you found your life described in any of those things, endless cycle, repeating, no freedom, no forgiveness. I tell you, we celebrate baptism, but it's a truth that's true all the time for us. It's that there's forgiveness of sins and God forgets. And we can be raised into newness of life. And those of us that know that truth ought to be going out these doors, going crazy with the gospel. And that's how we guard it. By knowing it, experiencing it, seeing it lived out in baptism and proclaiming it. In baptism, we celebrate these things. Well, it's a Sunday night service. Like, doesn't he know we have work on Monday? I'm sorry. You're not walking in fullness of life if that's our attitude. This is powerful stuff. God forgives and God forgets. And in it, we will do it until we cease to exist or the Lord comes back because it's guarding the gospel. So let's stand. See, we've mixed things around a bit, but it's the word that will lead us into further worship. The explosion of the truth will lead us into true worship. It's not the other way around. It's not worship until we can feel all good and then we can hear the word. It's backwards. We can't know what to worship unless we know God. And we just heard some very powerful things that God has done and is doing. I have the pleasure of baptizing two of my daughters. That's going to be, I'm thrilled. And I got two more, and maybe more after that. Christy's in nursery, so she doesn't get to hear that. Or she might have something to say about that. Powerful reminder that God has not changed from generation to generation. He is still forgiving. He is still forgetting. He is still saving over and over and over again. It does not end. And see, again, this is not about us. Baptism has been happening for generations. We are one in a link. There will be many after us. But will he find us faithful in our generation? In our watch. Amen. Hallelujah. What's the song? What are we singing? I don't remember. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is, there it is. Worthy is the Lamb, isn't he? Oh, man. So as we go to the Lord in worship, we're going to spend some time worshiping him. During the worship time, there'll be folks that will come. I'll just come up and make an announcement at some point. We'll see what the Lord wants to do. Have folks up here to pray with you. If you have not known forgiveness, you can know it today. We're going to sing, "Worthy is the Lamb." Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are worthy. Lord, that this life is not about me. But Lord, you are the worthy, the only one worthy. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your truth. Lord, for leading us. Father, Lord, as we enter into worship now, Lord, and singing, Lord, I pray that you would draw and you would speak to those, Lord, that have been dealing, Lord, that have been trapped, Lord, in the copies and in the shadows. Lord, I pray you would lead us into a deeper knowledge, Lord, and realizing that you are who you say you are. And Lord, it's not just about rearranging priorities, but Lord, it's about you becoming the Lord of our lives. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Benjamin, guys, lead us. Let's just go into worship now and continue in our worship.